and in it, he's the good guy.
What's the next song?
The one about me.
Oh yeah, I like this one.
What?
Like Jenny said.
Don't always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone.
Janet Jackson throwing it back here on Raw Colors. You're tuning in to CKUW 95.9 FM to Raw Colors. Thank you so much for tuning in on this beautiful Friday morning in Winnipeg. It is like +2 and fantastic outside. So before just we get into the program a bit, I wanted to let folks know that this week we had the pleasure, well, at least with what we're doing with QPOC Winnipeg and Black Space Winnipeg, had the pleasure of having Robert Maynard, author of Policing Black Lives, here. So that was an amazing turnout. And just wanted to give a bit of a shout out to everybody involved at the Uniter Speaker Series. It was a fantastic event. So, yeah, without further ado, we want to get into talking with our very special guest this morning. Elizabeth Mudeno is a special projects coordinator from Homemade Visible and Archival Project by the Regent Film Park Festival. She has worked in films and events circuit for a variety varying capacities, supporting Scarborough Arts, Hot Docs, Luminato Festival, Real Canada, and others. She has a BFA in Film Studies from Ryerson University. Shout out to Ryerson, yes! And she also makes poetry, screenplays, and films. She is currently part of the 2017 cohorts of Black Women Film Canada and Regent Park Film Festivals, writing the web series Intensive, and completed the Cinefam Short Film Challenge at Caribbean Tales International Film Festival. Oh my goodness, Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
It's Mendenio.
Mendenio, I am so sorry. Elizabeth Mendenio, thank you so much for coming on air with us this morning. So yeah, tell our listeners a bit about yourself, anything that I might have missed out in your very impressive bio there.
Yeah, I guess, you know, you pretty much summed it up, but yeah, I largely work as an artist and an events organizer and have just been fortunate enough to work in a lot of different capacities. So.
Seriously. And you're a graduate of Ryerson.
Yes. Yeah, I did my undergrad in film studies at Ryerson.
Okay. What's their program like?
Yeah, so it's a BFA, so it's both production-based and theory-based. It's a four-year program, so every year you're making short films as well as learning about concepts and theories. It's a pretty small bunch. Like when I went, it was about 65 per year. And it's like very good for anyone who's like looking to really like get their hands dirty in terms of film and just like learn how to make films properly and like learn the background of film.
Very, very nice. So your current position right now with Regent Park Film Festival, could you give us a bit of intel on the history of the festival and how it kind of came to be and what you've seen as your time as the one of the producers?
Yeah.
Or I should say special projects coordinator, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Regent Park Film Festival is 15 years strong. We just wrapped up last weekend on the 18th. And we are Toronto's only free multicultural community film festival. So that's pretty spectacular in a city of over 80 film festivals. What's key to our programming is highlighting marginalized voices. We have a lot of racialized people, both behind the scenes working here and also on screen. We host a summer screening series in the summer, and then we host a four-day free film festival, just like jam-packed with like short films, feature-length films, workshops, virtual space, like all these different kinds of things with free admission and free childcare. And for a while, that was our staple event, and it still is. But this year, we also got money from the Canada Council for the Arts from their new chapter grant to do this homemade visible project, which I'm special project coordinator for. And that is our first nationwide project, and it's an archival project to encourage Indigenous and visible minority Canadians to submit their footage for free, their home movie footage for free digitization, and to add a clip to the archives at York University Libraries. So basically, like outside of our film festival, we do a lot of sort of grant-dependent projects. They tend to be sort of smaller workshops that give opportunities to racialized youth to learn more about filmmaking. But with this, yeah, we really lucked out to be able to do a sort of three-year project with a larger scope.
And I think now, even, it's funny that you bring this up, in Winnipeg we're starting to put the first Black film festival in the prairies and really in Western Canada, because kind of, other than Toronto and Montreal and even some like Nova Scotia, specifically with like you're saying, multicultural racialized filmmakers and whatnot, there's not a lot that I've seen over the years that give people of color like this platform, right, to explore film and narratives of cinema as communities of color. So do you think with the Canada Arts Council and other grants coming up that this is a shift in programming we're going to see in the arts across the country?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's been, like, this is definitely our time to grab hold of opportunities. It's kind of funny because it could be, on one side, it's like a lot of people are just trying to meet this quota, this diversity quota that has been set by, you know, different councils, whether it's the Canada Council, Ontario Arts Council, you know, your provincial council.
Right.
But the point is there really are a lot more opportunities for us to take hold of funding and, like, take up as much space as we possibly can.
Yes.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a trend in the last couple of years.
In your experience with filmmaking, so how many films have you made?
Yeah, I would say I've only made one film outside of film school.
Okay.
So that film that premiered at Caribbean Tales this year.
Right.
I've done, like, other exercises or things that I've sort of kept to myself. And then within film school, made probably another handful of films.
Okay.
But I would say that this is, like, really my sort of first public film.
Okay. And your experience in the festival, like, how was that for you as an emerging filmmaker?
Yeah. Oh, that's really interesting. I was lucky enough to be part of the Writing the Web Series program, and I just started that program before I was hired back to the festival. But it's just such a cool opportunity because not a lot of people are focusing on web series as an emerging platform for content.
Right.
And it just so happened that, like, the other girls in the program are also Black women. So that just created this kind of incredible environment because you don't get to be, you feel like your stories aren't being, you know, judged or misconstrued. Like, people are really taking in your stories and recognizing the necessity of them. And what was also amazing about that is that we were, you know, we're all Black women from, like, various backgrounds and all interested in different genres and stories. So it was just really great to see that, you know, there was no kind of limit to our storytelling.
Yeah. Even with, and see, that's the thing, like, with webs, when you say web series and it turning into something, I think of, like, Insecure,
yeah.
Right? And, like, Awkward Black Girl, which is fantastic. And that's really kind of the revolution of where storytelling is coming, like, from the internet and what is really possible even with a smaller production, with a smaller budget. And, you know, especially as like, Black creatives, I think we take the tools or materials that are given to us and we make incredible pieces of art. Even in your experience amongst the, like, collectivity of you and the other Black women, I totally hear what you're saying with the free of judgment and you can tell your stories raw and authentically. Let's get to the other initiative you're involved in. So, like, you're involved with another collective of Black women that you do things
in
the city?
Oh, Black Women Film Canada?
Yes.
So that was started by Ella Cooper. She's a multidisciplinary artist and community facilitator here in Toronto. But she had done one other cycle of Black Women Film Canada last year. And then this year, I think, was able to get even more funding and give us an opportunity to get a pass to TIFF, Toronto International Film Festival. And then also, so we, you know, went through all the sort of industry and screening events together as a group. And then a couple weeks ago, we did a two-week intensive where we had mentors from a lot of Black and, if not, women of color mentors from all over Canada who just, like, basically shared their expertise, whether it was in, like, producing, cinematography, or editing. And then we also had the opportunity to, you know, practice with, like, professional film equipment and also just, like, do things that were kind of addressed the fact that we were women of color in this industry. So one of my favorite workshops was with Sharon Lewis, who's the director of Brown Girl in the Ring, which is coming out soon, but she ran a sort of Theater of the Oppressive workshop. So she basically had us sort of embody our oppressions and then overpower them through our sort of physical theater exercises. And just even that, like, that angle and that perspective of recognizing that we are entering it within the film festival circuit and within filmmaking, it's difficult for us to enter these spaces, and there are a lot of other things that come up against us, and recognizing that that's a part of what we have to go through in our work and making that a part of the programming was so, just, like, so thoughtful and invaluable. But yeah, that program was really, really special for me, and seeing other women, like, that are also trying to do the same thing as me and that are doing the same thing, you know?
With a city as big as Toronto, especially with the film industry there, you have TIFF, you have so many other festivals that happen annually. Do you feel that initiatives like Region Park are supported across the city? And Where do you hope to see diversity within like the next 5 years in filmmaking and the arts community in Toronto? Because from what I've seen, obviously, yes, it's like it's much more diverse than, let's say, Winnipeg, for example. But I think initiatives like this is what is really going to reshape the cultural and artistic landscape of the city, right?
Yeah, totally. I think it can be hard because there's such a density of film festivals here for them to be recognized. Like, even while our film festival was happening, there was definitely at least like two other film festivals in progress. So I think that creates a sort of difficulty. And even just the sort of, I think sometimes people associate a sort of maybe lack of quality with community film festivals and are more attracted to the sort of big film festivals that have a lot more marketing, which is honestly their loss. But I think also what tends to happen in our city is that there are a lot of niche film festivals for very specific ethnic communities, and there isn't a lot of festivals that address the intersections of, like, multiple identities, that, you know, queer identities aren't separate from black identities, etc. And I think that it's really nice that our film festival does make space for all these groups and does try to create dialogues amongst these groups. So I think we stand out that way, and we definitely, I think as years pass and as our programming continues, there definitely continues to be a hunger and really positive feedback for people that are able to attend and find our film festival.
In your work and your experience with workshops and working with other larger collectives in film and arts, What impact do you see with young people, especially like young people of color, young queer people of color who take these workshops and get involved in this artistic expression, and how it kind of influences and shapes their, I think, personal narrative and what you've seen, I guess, blossom from these initiatives locally?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is like people just realize what's possible. Like a lot of times, you know, depending on what communities you're from, being an artist isn't seen as something feasible or something reasonable to do with your life.
Right.
But when you get this opportunity to actually, like, access the resources, whether it's, like, the literal equipment or just to, like, take up the space to tell your own story, you recognize that you can be a part of this scene. And I think that does a lot for people. I feel like a lot of people who go through our programs end up, you know, coming back, whether it's working at at Regent Park Film Festival in another capacity, or just continue to work towards being in the arts and through their school programming or otherwise. I think it really just helps make it all seem doable.
So, with what is featured right now, like you said, a lot of I think what Regent Park is getting at is this combination of like solidarity between other communities of color and like connecting this intersectional kind of narrative. What are there like different categories in the festival, or like how, what's the like logistics of it?
Yeah, I think for us, we try not to silo groups too much.
Right.
So we did have like one of the programs we had was Interruptions, and that was a political shorts program. And within that, you know, we had an animation from an Indigenous artist, a film about the gentrification of Regent Park by a Black artist. I'm trying to remember the whole program. There was definitely a film about a queer Indigenous identity as well.
Right.
And to addressing that, all of these films kind of talk about the politics of identity, and that's where the intersection kind of comes from. And that you can have a conversation about all of these films, you know, together without making it about any one thing.
With your, as you have progressed in this industry, could you speak to any kind of challenges you faced? Because from what I've noticed within the arts community here in our city in Winnipeg, it's not as diverse as it can be. And when it comes to the film industry and like independent films and shorts, there hasn't been a lot of room for I say local filmmakers and people of color to really get their work across or provided a platform. And that's why we're working hard to have this film festival in next year. But what adversities have you faced within your work, and how do you challenge them?
Yeah, I think the biggest difficulty for me was, I guess, partially film school and leaving film school, because my program was like really, really white and my teachers were all white. So I think even though they would try and show a diversity of films in film school, I think even coming down to analysis, there just wasn't. I mean, I knew that something was missing, and I knew that, like, after I graduated, I'd have to really actively find a racialized community in the arts to grow from. Because I don't know, I think when I was in film school, I didn't really realize what that gap was or why I was making myself smaller. But I think kind of overcoming that and trying to find both mentors and peers to work with and learn from has been the sort of biggest gap. And that's also, I think, why it took me so long to just, like, make a film outside of film school. And even just the factor of, I guess another factor is resources. You know, like, of course, people going to film school come from different economic backgrounds, but I just didn't have, like, the money to invest in film in the same way, or to, you know, work a lot of jobs without payment for a long time. So I think, yeah, those are kind of the barriers, is like finding the actual resources to make the work and trying to find communities, which is why, you know, I was so relieved when I came across Regent Park Film Festival and to see that they were offering free programming and opportunities for filmmakers was like a really big thing for me.
Let's get to your film. So what was the process? Yeah, absolutely. What was the process? I'm not a filmmaker, so this stuff is really, really interesting to me, and like just everything involved. How is your journey, and like, what's your film about, and how do you use it to? Because I interviewed an actor a while back, and we were kind of talking about telling, let's say, black stories when white directors try to interpret or direct or tell a black story versus like a black director. And like how it really, those dynamics really, you know, come across differently. What has your experience been behind the camera and directing people and the whole process behind filmmaking? And your short film in particular.
Yeah. So I guess my short film is called Intersecting, and I made it in partnership with Fiona Ray Clark. She's another black writer/creator. And we were just in a writing group together, and we became aware of this sort of call-out for CineFem Short Film Challenge by Caribbean Tales Film Festival was looking for women of color creators. And they were basically asking for, I believe, a 5-minute script and, you know, a sort of pitch package. And we just figured, like, this was an actual opportunity to get money to make a film, which is rare, and this is, you know, something to totally take advantage of. So we knew we wanted to do something that, the whole thing with the CineFem Short Film Challenge is that you only have really a couple of months from casting to actually screening the film to produce your film. So we had, I think we had 3 months, which sounds like a long period of time, but it really isn't when you're, like, both working full-time jobs. Yeah, so for us, even though in our work I think we're both drawn to drama and darker themes, we just decided to do something comedic, and I guess we just, like, bounced ideas off each other. So Intersecting is about basically black love under the sort of lens of heightened social media, particularly people who have their own sort of personal brands on social media. So, like, a social media influencer on Instagram and a YouTuber, and how if their two brands came in conflict, even if they were attracted to each other, how would they then have to navigate having a relationship and maintaining followers? Particularly the two protagonists, or one is a sort of hyper-masculine male named Jay, and the other is kind of androgynous but more masculine presenting female named Rhea, who has like a sort of large gay following. And her, I guess this film is also about her addressing her bisexuality, and both of them kind of weighing whether or not it's worth it to have this relationship, and whether or not it will affect their numbers. And what was really cool about this short film challenge is that they had like a lot of very, very tight deadlines for everything, so it really forces you to like scrounge your resources together and to like figure out who to ask for favors, because, you know, even though we had some money to make the film, we didn't have enough money to like pay people properly, you know, to pay cast and crew. So this is, I guess, where the film school thing comes in handy, in that I was like, okay, well, this is where I want to give all like the racialized people I met in film school an opportunity and a chance to sort of collaborate and make something and build something that will also premiere, which could have value to them. And also just the fact of POC stories, I think, matters to all POC creators. So that's where we like pulled in our favors. We held a casting call. I was able to make use of some space at Regent Park Film Festival. Yeah, it was just a lot of like quick thinking and you know, just like deciding to shoot with, to make a story that only had about like three different locations. And then also still trying to get professional enough quality for screening. So like where possible, like I think we spent a lot of money on our camera and lighting department, but that we wanted it to look, you know, we wanted it to look like something that could be played on multiple platforms. Yeah, so that was our short film.
Intersecting. Wow. That is incredible. And I think even, you know, what you said is so real. POC stories matter to other people of color. And I find even through film, it's one of the most powerful ways of storytelling, especially to really take back that narrative as Black people and people of color, and explore those themes raw and organically and authentically. Even if you've touched upon a bit of my next question with like Black queer cinema. What have you seen kind of throughout happening in Toronto, addressing those two, like personal narratives and giving it, providing a platform to explore that as like, a very like intersecting, I guess, aspect of film.
Yeah. Not to like keep tooting the Regent Park Film Festival, but it is.
No. Go ahead. I've already seen it doing incredible things. So
yeah, because like a few years ago, they had a panel that like actually was about like Black queerness, and like that kind of blew me away. Because oftentimes, like we actually have like three queer film festivals in Toronto. But I'm kind of or surprised by the level of kind of erasure that happens at those film festivals, where they just like aren't. Somehow are missing POC narratives, POC and Indigenous narratives. So to see a panel that was specifically about that at the film festival years ago just kind of, like, blew me away. But, yeah, it's hard because a lot of the films that are kind of allowed to take up space in the Canadian narrative don't deal with, you know, a lot of identities outside of, like, their white heteronarrative. So nothing immediately comes to mind, but I am excited about a lot of films that are going to be made. There's one particularly called Queen of Hearts, that is a short film coming out of Toronto, all made by Black women. And I think, I'm trying to remember where that's going to premiere, but it should be premiering next year and should have a little bit of an exhibit at the AGO. And I know Sharon Lewis is also making a new film, that also, I believe, deals with intersectional identities as well. So, yeah.
Okay. If you are, like, an emerging filmmaker or a hopeful filmmaker, obviously in Toronto and maybe across the country, what resources do you know of to help people who are maybe hesitant or shy and or don't have, like, a film degree, but want to start exploring creativity through the camera and any resources that are available for people around Canada, like people of color around Canada at large, I suppose.
Yeah, I definitely would tell everyone to like keep an eye out for the next call out of Black Women's Film Canada, just because it was incredible and did have people from outside of Toronto, even people outside of Canada, participate in the program. What else? I would also just say that it's like really, like film school, I think, can be really useful if you don't know a lot about film. But it is not the only way to go about, you know, being a filmmaker. And I just think it's really important to try and find your community. So for me, that was like predominantly through programs. But I think even just having, if you're able to get a hold of a camera and just like, or document your community stories in another way, like in a podcast or another way, I think that's a great way to make connections, is just to actually, you know, show up and take interest and just start building stories with people. And then from there, sort of like network branches out. I can't say, like, Youth for Change is another fantastic organization in Toronto. Unfortunately, I'm such a Toronto-centric person.
Oh, no, it's okay.
yeah. But, yeah, there are a few groups that give you access to equipment for free. It's just, like, mostly about finding community, I think.
Absolutely. So your kind of film debut, the festival was this year, correct?
Yes, yeah. The film that my film was in?
Yeah, the Caribbean.
Caribbean Tales. In September.
Very nice. So you said you're working on something new for the future?
Oh, yeah. I guess, like, there's a few. I mean, I was part of this web series program, so my next hope is to develop this program with another Black woman, and not this program, to develop this web series for production.
Yes.
So right now I'm just still like working on the pitch package and the episode breakdowns, but it would be really nice to actually get this series funded. It's called Tangled Roots, and it's about Black mental health, to get it funded for the new year. Mm. And my other hope is actually to keep submitting our current film to film festivals, so to also have that, you know, have at least North American reach.
Absolutely. This year too, we screened. We have a local partnership with the Winnipeg Film Group, and I'm not too sure if you're aware of Unarmed Versus, a Charles
Officer.
Yes.
Yeah, we screened it at our festival.
Oh, fantastic. So, yeah we, the other organization I run, Blackspace Winnipeg, we screened that in earlier this month, and then we're bringing it back for the festival in for Black History Month as well, and hopefully bringing Charles out here. But I want to use that film as an example. Like, it was kind of the first, or something that I've seen, like a kind of a contemporary Black documentary that really, really highlighted some, I think, universal issues that happened between like displacement in Black communities across the country, like from history to the present. If you're talking like Hogan's Alley or Africville, you know, you see this, this amazing like Black family just, you know, having to deal with this, and how these kids like were using this art to like express themselves and kind of dealing what they were going through. But what's your, other than I don't know, how do you call it, fiction and then like nonfiction in film, do you plan to, or do you ever aspire to make a short or a documentary?
I really love documentary. So I think it'd just be a matter of like finding the right subject that I felt was mine to tell. But I definitely want to work on documentaries. I think I'm just, I just need to actually get a camera and, need to just find the right story. But for sure, I love Unarmed Versus so much. And Charles Officer is just like one of my favorite directors. So I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that something in film school where, they also maneuver or teach you how to navigate as well with documentary? Like, is it the same kind of process between like directing a film or like document, like how do you know the difference between the two?
Yeah, I mean, film school definitely stresses fiction filmmaking more. But yeah, I guess in terms of creating, instead of creating like a script, you create a treatment and you kind of create what you think the arc of your documentary will be. There definitely is a lot more of a, it tends to be, of course, be like lower production value, which is great. And it does also tend to be that like a smaller crew and a smaller team, like oftentimes the person shooting the documentary is the director, you know, especially like starting out. So, yeah.
Very nice. Where, just be coming to the end of our interview in a bit, where can our listeners find more about yourself and the work that you're doing and keeping up with Region Park and all the, I guess, all the festivals that highlight these diverse voices in Toronto? Yeah, where can our listeners stay tuned and find out more information?
Yeah, so you guys can go to regionparkfilmfestival.com. We're at Region Park Film at, you know, we're on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and specifically Homemade Visible, which is, you know, a nationwide archival project that I'd encourage anyone to submit their home movie footage to. They can go to homemadevisible.ca or just check out the hashtag homemadevisible. Yeah, and for me specifically, I'm so elusive online. but I guess I'm like at L_Madenio on Twitter.
Okay, yeah. Very, very nice. Yeah, I just saw that Regent retweeted you, so now
now I
can find you on Twitter, which is fantastic.
Okay, awesome.
Very nice. Okay, cool. And do you where else do you see everything else going into the future, and what projects that are happening right now that you hope to really become kind of a national staple for cinema and like presenting and promoting diverse voices?
Oh my God, that's a huge question. that's hard. I just feel like I guess right now I'm like very much focused on Black Women Film Canada, because I think a lot of the women in that cohort are working on incredible things, and I just feel like in the next 5 years we're just gonna like take over both the documentary and fiction and like web series landscape.
Absolutely. Speak it into existence.
Exactly. It's happening. Yeah.
Okay, very cool. Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And to all of our listeners, make sure you stay tuned. And hopefully, I'm sure this isn't the last time we will have you on air. I feel another time for sure.
Oh my God. Well, thank you so much for having me. This is so lovely.
Absolutely. Okay, you take care.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so we're going to come back with a bit more music. And just to let you know, it is sunny and I think +2 this morning, which is fantastic. So stay tuned with some more amazing music here on Rock Colors on CQW 95.9 FM.
My baby, don't stand no cheating, my baby. Oh yeah, she don't stand no cheating, my baby. Oh yeah, she don't stand no cheating. She don't stand none of that midnight creeping, my baby. True little baby, my baby. My baby, I know she'd love me, my baby. Oh yes, I know she love me, my baby. Oh yes, I know she love me. She don't do nothing but kiss and hug me, my baby. True little baby, my baby. Cheating, my baby. Oh no, she don't can't stand no cheating, my baby. Oh no, she can't stand no cheating. Everything she do so pleasing, my baby. True little baby, my baby. My baby don't stand no fooling, my baby. Oh yeah, she don't stand no fooling, my baby. Oh yeah, she don't stand no fooling. When she's hot, there ain't no cooling, my baby. True little baby, she's my baby.
True little baby,
she's my baby.
True little baby,
she's my baby.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Travis Scott, Tugger, Tugger, baby.
Yeah.
I'm on four. I call your whore. Just to fucking show up. I just went got my door. Pull it off and I'm gone. Then I go up before. Then I roll up, then roll up. Then I'm calling your whore. Pull up in my tongue, hit in the block and I'm bleeding. Throwing that rolling on you. I like the way it be freezing. Pick up the phone, baby. I know you're home, baby. It's lit, I'm in the zone, baby. Straight up.
I just put up a fall, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Come before that, that'd be. Lean like my motherfucking vanity. Super Bowl ring with me, body bin. I stacked it up, now I'm just battling. Got screws in my mouth, I'm just prepping it. I'm fucking this cash, I'm a celibate. I'm packing it out like a reverend. I need all this cash, I got hella keys. I'ma play dumb and get left in the middle. Yeah, yeah. Bad the fuck up, you too little. Hit him with three like a miller. Yeah, yeah. I don't talk to no man in the middle. I don't talk to no man, I'm just kidding. Swap. But I did pay my sister tuition. I feel lucky, I should play the lottery. Yeah. Walking out with it, I signed a list. Mama told me I'm her brightest star. Yeah. Mama told me don't hate on the law. Because everybody got a job. Because everybody won't be a star.
Real shit. Real shit.
Please believe every motherfucker right here won't be a part. She gon' do anything in her power to be with your mind.
Pick up the phone, baby. I know you're home, baby. It's lit, I'm in the zone, baby. Straight up.
I just put up a fall, baby.
Yeah, yeah. Never will I cheat on you. Never will I keep it greasy. Blowing a bag on you. Do all of that for no reason. I'ma pull up in my two. Hitting the block and I'm bleeding. Throwing that rollie on you. I like the way you be breathing. Yeah.
Pick up the phone. McCullough cooking, baby, I'm alone. I thought I was right. Then I had to man up, I was wrong. I hate when we fight. She in love with the pipe. I draped her up in ice. I put my phone on ice. Birds in the trap sing rhyming night. Percocet and codeine. Don't take my life. She had a dream with Celine, so I bought it twice. Young nigga, make it right back tonight. Girl, you're so cute and your ass is nice. Drinking the phone and I'm shooting dice. Wrist pull up at Klondike. And I'm loving all races. Hell nah, don't discriminate. Drinking on clean, sanitized. After sheets with the frog eyes. If I ever call your phone, baby, better believe it's only one time.
Pick up the phone, baby.
Cheat on you, never will I keep it greasy. Blowing a bag on you, do all of that for no reason. I'ma pull up in my two, hitting the block and I'm bleeding. Throwing that rollie on you, I like the way you be breathing.
Yeah.
talk about all the things.
That was Raw Colors. You're tuning back into CKUW 95.9 FM. I have a very special guest who randomly showed up at the studio, and the first time being on air on Raw Colors, I'd like to introduce everyone to Miss Paulette Isaacs, my mom. How you doing, Paulette?
I'm doing fantastic. How you doing, Alexa?
Great. Thank you so much for joining us for the last few moments on Raw Colors to finish up our hour strong.
Yep.
For those of you who may not know, my mom has been a, I think, staple in what I do with the community, what I've done with Black Space, what I continue to do with Raw Colors, and she's amazing at keeping me stay balanced, stay humble, and a strong head on my shoulders. So why don't you tell our listeners a bit about yourself, what you do and everything?
What I do.
You're passionate about.
I'm passionate about getting into cooking, starting my own blog, and those kind of things.
Very nice.
I was, as you know, a contestant on MasterChef Canada. I wasn't on contestant.
Was.
I auditioned for MasterChef Canada, which they told me I won out over thousands of entries, and I got to be, they submitted me as one of the finalists, which was a top, I think 12 people out of thousands of people. So I'm quite chuffed at that, actually. And didn't pan out, but I'm going to be starting my own blog, and I'm going to sell some little tidbits over the holidays.
Very fantastic.
Some Jamaican influenced, of
Absolutely.
Course.
Absolutely. Yeah. Where did your influence of and your passion of cuisine come from?
Like, being from our culture, like just being Jamaican people, they love, they're always cooking. They're always cooking for their family. My parent, I just remember my mama was cooking all the time. We didn't go out to restaurants and all this kind of stuff. My mom always cooked for us. She made amazing food.
Right.
And my father's an amazing cook and as well. So that just was instilled in me. And then when I was a young girl, I remember meeting my paternal grandparents, and my grandmother, she was amazing. Like, everything that came out of her kitchen, and that's world star cooking. It was just amazing, and I feel the love from her, the way she cooked, you know. And other people in my life, like my ex's mom, she was an amazing cook as well. And I'm just influenced by other people's cooking. When it's really good and they're passionate about what they're doing, I just love that, and I just adapt that into my own cooking skills, I guess.
Absolutely. Where in Winnipeg do you notice a lack of diversity in local restaurants, or what do you hope to see increase in, like, the land of cuisine and, like, local businesses for more diversified food? And where do you see that going, or do you hope to contribute to that type of landscape of cuisine?
I like to when you go to restaurants, it's always, you know, very North American, very, I don't know how I can say Canadian, because Canadian is very diverse because there's so many cultures here.
Right.
But it's very like Eurocentric kind of food,
okay.
Right? And, you know, you have these pub grubs, lots of places, you know, you got your trademark places here. You know what I'm talking about, all the streamlines that's in, everybody knows, everybody goes and frequents all the time. But I think it's like, you know, everybody knows Thai food's delicious, and they're branching out in their taste. But I want to see more, maybe more ethnic, like in African cultures, establishing restaurants here, maybe more Jamaican or West Indian influences, and not always so North American. That's what I like to see the trend going more in African or West Indian kind of a way. And I like to contribute to that, in the sense that, because my way of cooking is very, you know, because I've always fed you my whole life,
right?
So, you know, my food is very diverse. Like, it's always you know, very European influence and Jamaican influence, but I like to have my little niche and do a little, you know, catering or a little, like I say, blog and start showing people what I do and, you know, get that out there and start, you know, having a little business from that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you think your experience on the MasterChef audition?
Yeah.
That's a huge show.
Yes.
What have you, when you went there, what was the process like, and were they enthusiastic about, let's say, quote unquote, ethnic? And I use that word very carefully. food.
Yeah. I heard the chef critiquing everybody. I got really good feedback because she said I could have did this or this. Like, I remember her saying, instead of cutting straight across on the spring onions that I sprinkled on my Thai curry chicken with coconut rice, which is off the chain, by the way, I should have did it on a bias. And she was right, you know. And I said I put the lime in there, but she couldn't taste it. And I said, oh, yeah, right. I should have made it more pronounced.
Right.
And I got really good feedback. But she also said the flavors were on point. She loved the chicken and she loved my rice. She just gave me a lot of great feedback, even though I not going to be one of the contestants. I walked away there knowing that a world-class chef tasted my food and said it was delicious.
Absolutely.
And I knew this already, but it's good to be told by someone in the industry.
Absolutely.
And I enjoyed the whole experience, and they want me to come back next year and come back next year, and I'm gonna rock that.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Hands down.
That's right.
So just coming down to the end of our episode here, mm-hmm. What advice would you give to emerging cooks or aspiring chefs who want to explore flavor and start something but maybe not have the tools to yet? And you're maybe you're not a commercial chef or anything,
right,
but you're definitely a well-established and experienced cook.
Yes. Well, I think we already know is diversify your palate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't always for chefs, they always go by the culinary way of doing things through a European standard, right?
Right.
They have to know how to make sauces and all these kind of things, which is a more Eurocentric way of cooking. I think they should get out of that and add everything into the palate. African, Asian, Caribbean,
right.
And they're already doing that. There's a lot of Thai influence that's already a standard now. Thai food is already accepted.
Right.
Chinese foods or Japanese with sushi, that's already established. That's a staple now in our mainstream. But I want them to get more. I don't see this more. African, more Caribbean,
yeah.
Those the people that cook there are amazing cooks.
Right.
Like they're Michelin star chefs, and I don't see them as have such notoriety as other European or other chefs that are here.
Okay,
yeah.
So providing more of a platform for black.
Yes,
okay.
Black cooking.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. So we're just coming to the end of our program here on CQW 95.9 FM on mm-hmm. Rock Colors. Thank you again to Elizabeth and Paulette for coming in the studio with us. We're going to end with a couple songs, and we'll be back here next week, Friday. Stay tuned, and then we're winding down for the holiday season, I suppose. So, Winnipeg, until next time, stay beautiful, and most importantly, stay woke. We will see you here next Friday.
Si el ritmo te lleva a mover la cabeza, ya empezamos como es. Mi música no discrimina a nadie, así que vamos a romper.
Con lo mío todos se mueven, la fiesta la llevo en mis genes. Yo soy la arena de los nenes. Mi gente no se detiene, aquí nadie se quiere ir. Si el ritmo está en tu cabeza, ahora suéltate y mueve los pies. Me encanta cuando el bajo suena, empezamos a subir de nivel.
Y toda mi gente se mueve.
La fiesta la llevo en mis genes. Yo soy la reina de los nenes.
Mi música los tiene fuerte bailando y se baila así.
La fiesta no para, apenas comienza.
Se conce, se consa, ma chérie, la 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 la.
Francia, Colombia,
Houston, freeze.
J Balvin, Willy William,
Beyoncé, freeze.
Los DJ no mienten, le gusta a mi gente y eso se fue muy bien. No le bajamos, mas nunca paramos, eso es copado y
claro. ¿Y dónde está el gigante? Me fue a bouger la tête.
Azul, are you with me?
Say yeah, yeah, yeah.
1, 2, 3,
say yeah, yeah, yeah. Say my body's staying wetter than the ocean. And you say that Creole in my body's like a potion. I can be a beast or I can give you emotion. But please don't question my devotion.
I've been giving birth on these haters cause I'm fertile.
See these double C's on his back.
One more double D's in his bed.
If you really love me, make an album about me.
Word up.
Soon as I walk in, boys start they talking. Right as that booty sway.
Slay.
Lift up your people. From Texas, Puerto Rico, Milan to Mexico.
Y dónde está el gigante? Me fue a bouger la tête. Y dónde está el gigante? Say yeah, yeah, yeah.
Esquina, y ahí nos vamos. El mundo es grande, pero lo tengo en mis manos. Estoy muy duro, sí, ok, ahí vamos. Y con el tiempo nos seguimos elevando. Y que seguimos rompiendo aquí. Esta fiesta no tiene fin. Botellas para arriba, sí.
La gente no se detiene,
y dónde está el gigante.
Me fue a bouger la tête.
Azul, are you with me?
Say yeah, yeah, yeah.
1, 2, 3,
oh, yes,
go.
Hello, Winnipeg and world. You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM.